Do you know what the most unread book in America is? It's the car owner's manual. It's written to give an owner of a car all they need to know about how to operate their car and get the most out of it and let it operate at the highest efficiency. But who reads those books anyway? Well, actually, I did one time. I was so excited when I bought my first new car that I read the owner's manual from cover to cover. I discovered in it an extreme maintenance schedule that showed me all that I should do with it and why I needed to follow that maintenance schedule. It showed me how to get the maximum performance out of the car. And it even told me about all the special features in my car that were designed with me in mind. I thought, Detroit thought about me? Years later, when Kathy and I began a family, we bought a Chevy Astro minivan. And I read part of that manual too, but not as intentionally as I did the first one. Actually, I think I was sitting out in a parking lot of a mall. I was bored while Kathy was inside shopping, staying a little bit longer than I expected her to. And so I pulled out the manual and started reading about my Astro van. And if I hadn't read it that day, I would never have known that those two compartments in the back of the two side compartments at the very back of the minivan actually doubled as ice chests. And they were equipped with runoff drains. I didn't have to take the water or ice out when I was finished with it. Who knows what special features your car has if you just read the manual? You know, the same can be said about life. What special things we could learn about life if we just read the Bible. I wonder how many of you thought I was going to say that the Bible is the most unread book in America. Well, that's what you'd expect a preacher to say. There are similarities between the car owner's manual and the Bible. Both sit untouched and unread for years at a time. And as car maintenance is often neglected for lack of attention to the manual, so life maintenance is often neglected for lack of attention to the Bible. The truth is, for a lot of people, both are nothing more than just a manual, a maintenance guide that's only looked at in times of trouble. Few of them are ever read from cover to cover. But that's where the comparison breaks down. You see, the Bible is so much more than a manual. If you have your Bible, I'd like to invite you to open it up to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Hebrews is in the end of the New Testament, so it's almost all the way to the very end of the Bible. Find Hebrews and then go to chapter 4, verse 12. If you don't have a Bible with you, of course, we'll have the words on the screen. Here's what the writer of Hebrews assures us about the Bible. It says, for the Word of God, and that's another name for the Bible, the Word of God is living and active. It's not like any other book. Sure, it can be seen in some ways as a manual. It's called a path, a guide, and many other things, but it's unlike any other book you will ever read or touch because it is alive. For the Word of God is living and active. Sharper than any double-edged sword, it penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Here's what the Bible does. The Bible reveals the world as it really is. It reveals the world as it really is. There is so much more to this life. What if there's more to life than you ever dreamed possible? What if you're caught up in some giant hokey-pokey dance line thinking that's what it's all about? But it's not. It's not. The Bible is a story that presents a different way of looking and seeing the world and our lives in it. It helps us know the truth about ourselves and others, and it helps us to see how we and everyone else are part of the big, grand story of God in this world. And that's why we believe this about the Bible. We believe the Bible is God's word to us. It was written by human authors under the supernatural guidance of the Holy Spirit. It's the supreme source of truth for Christian beliefs and living. And because it's inspired by God, it is the truth without any mixture of error. Another way of saying that is it is infallible. It is inerrant. Now, many of you accept that statement at face value. But I'm sure some of you have some thoughtful questions about the Bible. And you know, that's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing. One of Jesus' closest disciples, a man named Thomas, asked so many questions that he has gained the nickname of Doubting Thomas. But Thomas was much more, not so much doubtful as he was thoughtful. And so you may have some thoughtful questions like Thomas did. And your questions may be about the Bible. Is the Bible really true? I mean, did that stuff actually happen? Is it reliable? Can we trust its accuracy? Is the Bible actually this? Did it come from God, or was it just written by a bunch of American and European authors? Well, the truth is that none of the Bible is written by Americans or Europeans. America didn't even exist when it was created. The authors of the Bible were all Middle Eastern. They're all from the Middle East. Now, Luke, the author of Acts. The book of Acts and the gospel named after him, one of the four biographies of Jesus. Luke may have been from Europe, but more than likely, historians think he was from Syria, which is just up the road from Israel, also in the Middle East. Those are great questions. Is the Bible true? Is it reliable? Is it accurate? Is it trustworthy? Those are great questions. And I cannot give you in-depth answers to all those questions in 20 minutes, but what I hope to do is to whet your appetite to study those questions for yourself. I love talking about the Bible. I have studied each and every one of those questions that I mentioned to you for years. I've read a lot about it, and I am absolutely convinced that the Bible is true, historically accurate, reliable, and very useful, because it has been all of that for me in my life. Let me start with the true part, okay? If you have questions you'd like answered, here's a great resource. It's called The Case for Christ. It's a book by Lee Strobel. I've written down the name of that book in your message notes in the app, in the BPF app, if you want to order it. So I would highly recommend that. Lee Strobel is a former investigative reporter for the Chicago Tribune. He gained fame by uncovering evidence that the Ford Motor Company knew about a defect in one of its automobiles, the Ford Pinto. He discovered that they knew that the Pinto was prone to explode on impact when it was hit from behind, and they covered up that information and kept selling the cars. So Lee Strobel, he discovered that and became very popular as a result of that. Well, somewhere along after that time, Lee Strobel's wife was invited to a neighborhood small group Bible study, and she started attending there. And as a result of that time spent studying the Bible with some friends in her neighborhood, she stepped over the line of faith and became a Christ follower. Well, Strobel was furious that this had happened. He couldn't believe his wife had been taken in by these people. He wanted to call each and every one of them and talk to them and tell them, listen, I don't have any money, but what I do have are a particular set of skills. Skills that I've acquired over a very long career. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you. Well, actually, Lee Strobel didn't say that. That was Liam Neeson in the movie Taken. But that's how he felt. He was so upset at these people in this small group Bible study and what they had done with his wife. This is a picture of Lee Strobel now. This is Lee Strobel. Lee was really angry. He was very angry that his wife had been taken in by these ladies in this Bible study and by this man named Jesus. And so he set out to use his particular set of investigative skills to prove that the Bible was unreliable fiction. And he did a very detailed study of the Bible. But after a lengthy search for the truth, he came to a really surprising conclusion. He said, the atheism I had embraced for so long buckled under the weight of historical truth. My journalistic skepticism toward the supernatural had melted in light of breathtaking historical evidence. His journey didn't end like Liam Neeson's in the movie Taken. He never rescued his wife from these Christians. He became one instead. And that's why he wrote the book, The Case for Christ, to talk about his investigative journey. Another brilliant atheist turned Christ follower is a man named Josh McDowell. And he wrote a book about his investigation. He did a similar thing to disprove the truth of the Bible. And his book that he wrote was called More Than a Carpenter. And that's also in the message notes on the BPF app. More Than a Carpenter by Josh McDowell. He gives convincing examples that the New Testament has greater proof of authenticity than any piece of literature from antiquity. Far more proof of authenticity, far more than Aristotle's Poetics, Caesar's History of the Gallic Wars, or Homer's Iliad. He said the Gospels, that's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four books of the Bible that have a biography of Jesus that tell the gospel, the good news of Jesus. He said the Gospels are extremely consistent by ancient standards, which is the only standard to judge them by. He said, consider Luke's accuracy. Not a single mistake in his reference to 32 countries, 54 cities, and 9 islands. Josh McDowell discovered similar consistency with the Old Testament of the Bible. The books of the Old Testament were written over a period of 1,000 years by many different authors, and it was completed about 400 years before Jesus Christ was born, before he came to earth as a man. And yet, those Old Testament books got all their predictions right about Jesus. He said the scientific probability of getting just 48 of the over 300 prophecies about Jesus correct and being fulfilled is 1 in 10 to the 157th power. That's 10 with 157 zeros. Buzz Lightyear would call that infinity and beyond. It's just not possible to be that accurate, unless, of course, it's the Word of God. I could go on and on with examples, and that's why I would like for you to read either one of those books if you have thoughtful questions. I want to answer the question, though, about the Bible's usefulness now. Turn your Bibles back from Hebrews to 2 Timothy 3:16. I want you to hear what the Bible says about it. 2 Timothy 3:16. This was another letter in the Bible that was written by the Apostle Paul to a younger pastor named Timothy. And he was telling Timothy what he needed to know about the Bible and what it was good for and what it was accurate about. Here's what the Bible itself says about the Bible. Here's what Paul said about the Bible. He starts off by saying, all Scripture is God-breathed and useful. Now, before we talk about the useful part, let's make sure we understand what this God-breathed means. Hold your place in 2 Timothy. The Apostle Peter, another one of Jesus' followers, he explained the concept of God-breathed in a letter we call the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21. Peter said, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture, that's another word for Bible, Scripture, no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. In other words, it didn't just come about from that author. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. That word carried along. Every word in the Bible was written down as men were carried along, or another way of saying it, as moved by the Holy Spirit. Jesus himself affirmed the nature, the inspired nature of the Old Testament when he said, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus went on to say, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. If that's true, and if these words in the Bible truly are the words of God the Creator, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, then we can't pick and choose which parts of the Bible we like. We can't pick and choose which commands we will obey, which doctrines we will believe. It's God-breathed. If we believe that this is God's word, then if we disagree with what it says, we're disagreeing with God. Go back to 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All Scripture, all the Bible, is God-breathed and useful. Now let's talk about useful. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The purpose of the Bible is to connect us with God, to see his story, and then to make us useful, make us people who do good works, do good things for other people. That's the result of letting the Bible guide our lives. I will tell you that the best evidence for the Bible being the Word of God, though, is found between its covers. As you read it, you'll realize it really is alive. It is unlike any other book. When you read it, the Holy Spirit will help you to understand it. This is one of the reasons I always encourage you to read the Bible. Nothing will help your spiritual growth more than daily time spent reading the Bible. But here's a caution, okay? When you read the Bible, be careful that you're not using it to reinforce your own preferences, your prejudices, or your desires. Write this down. I want to encourage you to learn to read the Bible as it's presented to you and not always the way you want, because it will challenge some of your beliefs and some of your long-haired held thoughts. What I've discovered is there's a lot more Bible quoting going on than Bible reading. Anyone can quote part of a verse. They can repost something on social media. But I would tell you, it's easy to shame someone on social media or reinforce one of your beliefs by quoting a verse as if it was written, and as if it was written about the topic you're talking about, referring to your agenda. The agenda of the Bible is not political, though it does address a lot of our political issues. The Bible's agenda is not economic, but it does give a lot of sound advice about finances. The Bible's agenda is not social networking, but it will show you how to have healthy relationships. The Bible is so useful, but the agenda of the Bible is not about you. It's about Jesus. The agenda of the Bible is Jesus Christ. The whole Bible is about Him. The Old Testament points to Christ. It anticipates Christ, and the New Testament reveals Jesus Christ. A Scottish preacher once said, "Give it a chance, and it will demonstrate its own power. It is the light by which millions have found their way. It's the light by which I've found my way. And it's the light by which I hope you will find your way." I want you to imagine yourself living in a huge warehouse, with lots of other people. You were born there. You grew up there, and you have everything you've ever needed provided for you there in that warehouse. Now, also, I want you to imagine that in this warehouse, there are no doors leading outside, but there are windows, and those windows are covered in dust. Now, imagine a child in that warehouse goes up and, out of curiosity, wipes the dust off of those windows. And as they wipe the dust off, they see people outside walking around on the streets. So they coax their friends to come in and see and look out the window. And so all the children begin looking out the window at all the people on the street. And then they notice that someone out on the street is pointing up in the sky. And then others begin to point up in the sky. And everyone outside on the street begins to look up to the sky. And so all the children in the warehouse look up. But all they see in the warehouse is the ceiling of the warehouse. Eventually, they get tired and bored with seeing these people looking up in the sky, looking up above at what appears to them to be nothing at all, and so they walk away from the window. But what if? What if one of the children figures out how to cut a door into the wall and coaxes her friends to venture outside? They would discover an immense sky above them and a grand horizon beyond them. You see, the Bible reveals the world to us as it truly is. It is true, it is reliable, and it is so very useful. What if this great big world you live in, you think that you're enjoying outside of the restrictions of God in the Bible, is nothing more than a warehouse blocking your view of a greater, grander view of the world, greater and grander than you ever imagined? I want to encourage you to pick up a Bible today and begin reading it. Start with one of the four Gospels, the four biographies of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. It doesn't matter which one. Just pick one of those and read through it. And when you finish reading that, then go read another perspective. Read another one of the Gospels, and then another till you've read all four. Then read through the book of Acts, which is the beginning of the early church after Jesus ascended back into heaven. And once you finish that, go ahead and finish out the New Testament. Read the Bible and see what it does for you. Jesus wants to introduce you to a greater, grander view of the world than you have ever imagined. And He's given you the Bible to help you find it. Pick it up.